You know, and what I've been speaking to in the last few weeks, and it's almost like the antidote series here. The first Sunday we're back, I spoke into, you know, the reality of what you're facing, the world around you versus faith, hope, and love, and how we have to hold on to these things, because love never fails. And faith is the thing that we live by, and the hope we have in our hearts will never put you to shame, ever. And we hold on to these truths. And last week I touched a little bit on the reality of being selfish and self-centeredness. And I get why we go there, because of the survival mode we kick into in this nation and the nations around the world. But I know in South Africa, there's this survival mentality because everything's against us all the time. In so many different ways. It feels like everything just goes against us. From spiritual, there's a tension, to just stuff around us. It feels like it's taken away all the time. So we kick into survival mode, and then you become selfish. And you're just fending for yourself. And there has to be a shift in thinking of kingdom understanding and perspective, where the kingdom is all about serving others and not your own agenda first. And I was explaining how a self-centered person is that what they're doing and everything they're doing is that at the end of the day, it's what they gain out of it. Okay, so that they come first. But then you'll say, but you're very selfish. No, no, but I'm doing it for others. But you're centered on yourself. And if you gain, you're fine, but you don't worry about others. And there's a shift in our kingdom thinking that we have to have. And that's this next month in February. We're going to speak in the 21 days booklet you're going to receive. It's all going to be about serving one another. And many have written different devotionals, and we're putting that together. And Tina read this already, laying my own agenda aside, needs aside from the place of Christ in me, I willingly serve others to see them prosper. Now, Tina mentioned this, and I want to be practical today and about what we are walking into. We are walking into 21 days of prayer and fasting. Okay? When we first said this 9 years ago, I think the community were like, you don't have to be so serious. 21 days of prayer and fasting, you're kidding me. We're walking into a fast, okay, associated with prayer and the word building into us. So why do we fast? What is the requirement? Why must we do it? And I want to get practical and help us today and speak into this. There's the most kind of damning chapter in the Bible that the Lord refers to about fasting is Isaiah 58. And Isaiah's prophesying, and yeah, he's speaking over the people of what God is saying to them. And he's basically saying, you guys, you choose your own fast. You do all your own way. You do it on your terms. You squabble, you fight, you amongst each other, but you're doing it on your terms. And he's saying, that's not the fast I asked for. This is the kind of fast I'm asking of you as a people. And he mentions the verse in 58 verse 6, it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. This is the Lord speaking. Isn't this what I've asked of you? But you do it your way. And that is a massive trait in the things of the society and the time we live now, the independent spirit. I do it my way. It's not necessarily biblical, but you've convinced yourself it's fine. And it's okay to go this route. Okay, and I want to read from Matthew 9, verses 14 to 17 this morning. Just a little bit about fasting. And Jesus is questioned about fasting here after he's healed the paralytic, after he's just called Matthew, the tax collector, to come and walk with him. And then after this, he then restores and heals this girl, and the woman is healed. But in verse 14, it says, then the disciples of John came to him. Now, speaking of John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for Jesus, and they asked Jesus, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed, but new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. And essentially what Jesus is saying there in that verse is that, I'm here, the bridegroom's here. Okay, we're celebrating me here now. When I'm gone, then you will fast. But with me here, we're not going to fast. But when I'm leaving, you will fast. And so he's not saying you don't have to fast again. He says, when I leave, they will fast. Okay, so what does fasting mean? And we have to understand this, because we have a lot of our own understanding and thinking sometimes, and then we do the fast according to our measure and terms, and we act a little bit like Isaiah 58, and we do it that suits us. The essential bottom meaning of the word fast means to inflict oneself. Now, already that's annoying to hear, because it's like it's going to require something. Inflicting, I'm putting myself in a difficult position. Okay, inflict oneself, which we don't like to do, right? We don't like to inconvenience ourselves. We don't like to do something that's out of the norm. It's going to require something of me. Now, think of the state we're in, the pressure, all the things pushing around of us, and now you're telling me I've got to try to do something else. And you think, emotionally, I don't have the energy. It's this not emotional. This is not an emotional decision. This is spiritual. Okay? And it requires your emotions to come into order and align with God's purposes over your life. Okay? So this, what is fasting? The Hindus fast. The Muslims fast. All the Jews fast. Okay? And are very dedicated in different ways, we see. Okay? How they are committed to this. But they're fasting to try and gain something. Okay? And be good. And it's done in the natural. Okay? And trying to add the depth of spirituality to it. So fasting denies the flesh. That is the underlying principle. Okay? Of denying your flesh something. Okay? So there's a few things. Self-denial. Okay? This foundation places the desires of the kingdom forefront. So Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So by walking into this, we are denying all the desires and the delicacies of the world, and we are putting the kingdom first. And already I can feel it's hard in this room. And I want to say to you, it's also hard for me. I also have a tent and I'm flesh. Do I look like I fast regularly? Okay? This is difficult for all of us. Not some super spirituals that get away with it and they look so mad that if the southeaster blows, they'll blow them away. Okay? It's a discipline. Okay? And I'm being very practical today. Because this, there's a discipline, but there's a benefit from pressing into this. Okay? So you desire the kingdom first before your fleshly desires and what you need. So there are only three ways of fasting. Many people have made a whole lot of other ways on how to do this. There's only three ways to fast. The first way is no water, no food. Okay? I have not done that. Okay? That's a tough one. But it happens in the Bible often. You think about Paul after his Damascus Road experience. And in Acts 9, he's sitting in that house. And Cornelius comes to him and says he took no water and no food for 3 days. So he fasted from the position of not even a believer yet, because Jesus has arrested his attention. Now there's something happening here. And he fasts. Why? Because he wants to be in tune with what's happening here. And Cornelius comes out of trembling. This man kills Christians and the scales fall off his arms. Sorry, are you chirping me? Ananias. Sorry, sir, not Cornelius. That's right. Yeah, yeah. You can't take him anywhere, huh? I want to know, if I'm not here one Sunday, I'm where he's preaching. And then I'm going to just kind of have a little rap with you when you're going. But thanks for that pause, I was able to drink some water. Okay.
You know what, after 3 days your cell renews and your body creates new cells after 3 days of fasting.
Wow, there we go. So the body, this tent is an incredible thing. I was rubbish at biology. Okay, and I didn't want to understand how my lungs work. It's pretty gross to see that and people sticking their fingers in lungs at school. No, this tent is phenomenal when you look after it and you process it. So firstly, no water, no food is one way of fasting. Second way is no food, but you only drink water. Okay, and Jesus for 40 days in the wilderness went without food. Okay, and then the devil came to test him in Matthew 4. Then there's the third way. Is that you abstain from certain waters, certain foods, okay? In Cape Town, you get different waters in different ways, okay? You abstain from different foods and you drink water. So it's referring to the Daniel fast, where you basically eat vegetables and drink water, but all the delicacies you clear off. And you focus on eating just the vegetables and that. Okay. And it's based on this Daniel fast. And if you read through Daniel, we touched on that last year, on his process of doing that. So fasting speaks of a preparedness and a readiness of your spirit. Okay, not to awaken your flesh, because your flesh cries out to you. It's actually subsiding and pushing down the flesh and allowing your spirit to come forth. So there's clarity in your hearing of the things of God. You're hearing what God's saying in this hour and what he's doing. So you are subjecting yourself to a position where your spirit comes awake and alive in you. And it's requiring discipline. I want to say that fast, you know, we've said this over the years. You know, you can fast social media, fast chocolates, fast stuff. But social media, if I remember correctly, is not food. Okay, you do what you require and do what you can do, but there's only three ways of fasting. And it requires the flesh relating to food. You can cut off social media because you might not want those voices throwing at you all this nonsense. Okay, take away games for a month on your phone. Okay, it's a disciplining, so you are cleaning out in front of you. And asking the Lord to speak to us. We only do this once a year. Sometimes we've done it around September. So it's an alertness and a preparedness for what's coming ahead for us. And it's not just so that I can feel good about my body and do stuff. So Jesus, in the next very part about that section, he starts speaking about the garment and the patch that you put on a hole, on a garment, wherever, maybe an elbow, or wherever. And then the wineskin adjusts in preparedness for the new wine. Now, Yolandi, you say those words this morning. God's going to double to us. And praise God for the favor you've had in your business. Because you, over the years, have told your story in different kind of ways. That is a confirmation of what a lot of prophets are saying. Okay? But the reality is, it's quite tough to believe. I'm like, okay, because we've been trusting for years. And God, like, we're saying, are you going to do this? Okay, but what we're doing is positioning ourselves so we have faith rise in our hearts. And there's an adjusting that takes place in us, just like a wineskin adjusts to receive the new wine. Okay, and that whole process that a wineskin, and I shared this 6 years ago, I think in 2018, also in February leading up to the fast. Okay, firstly, what happens is the old wineskin, which bloats and becomes hard around the outside, okay, if you put the new wine into that, it will bloat and it will explode, and then you lose the new wine because it leaks and it's broken now. But an old wineskin that bloats and is hard and brittle, you soak it in water for an extended period of time so that the leather starts becoming pliable again. So what happens in our lives is we go, and actually we become hardened by the realities, the responsibilities, the requiring of us, and often you need a bit of a reset. That's what a fast is. So we're just recalibrating. We're just realigning ourselves, and it requires a soaking of that wineskin in water to make it soft and brittle again. So that your heart becomes soft and brittle again. So that your spirit is awakened inside of you, and you are aware of the desires of the flesh, but they are not forefront and leading the way all the time. And it takes time, this. You can't just hurry the process. Oh, no, wineskin, one day. It'll take quite a while to line that water and to become brittle and to become soft and pliable again. Okay? And once it's soft and pliable, okay, and often you see that is a season of waiting. That is the painful and the hard cracks and the residue gets broken off. And your heart softens as you learn to trust God again. But then as it comes out of the water and it's soft and pliable again, oil is rubbed into that leather again to seal it. Okay, and make it ready for the new wine to be poured into it. So there's a process that it has to go through. You are like a wineskin, and you are positioning yourself, Yolandi confirms it, for what God wants to do through his people. So if you don't do this positioning, and I've seen this in people's lives, you don't prepare yourself for what God is doing. When he does something, you'll either question and go, well, this can't be God, because you haven't prepared yourself. And it's not preparing your mind, it's preparing your heart. And settling in that place when he speaks, you know it's him. When he moves, you know it's him. Even though you can't see it, you know it's Him. Even though you can't feel it, you know it's Him. And that's essential. And that oil soaking in is like the Word that's soaking into your life and soaking into the understanding of what the oil process kind of sets through. And then you don't get a new wineskin. You get a rejuvenated wineskin. Okay, so it's taken what was there already and rejuvenates it for the next process of the new wine to be poured in. You don't re-exchange your spiritual body for another spiritual body and change it. It gets rejuvenated and renewed, prepared for the new that God is doing. And that's the process we go through when we follow a 21-day process like this together. It's actually a beautiful thing when you embrace it and you engage it. Is it easy? No. I have not known one person that tells me fasting's easy at all. I've been trying this, what I call intimidated fasting. But it's actually called intermittent fasting. But it's intimidated fasting. Okay, and it does kind of work, but you actually get into a rhythm. And it becomes a pattern rather than a fighting something. And then your body adjusts to, this is the way we're doing things now. You don't tell me how it's doing. I'm deciding. This is how we go. Okay, so that's just a little bit of a foundation of the shifting of a wineskin. But fasting is not a diet to go and lose weight. Okay? If you are doing it out of the flesh and desiring fleshly results, okay, your gain will be flesh. Because I promise you, you'll put that weight on as quickly as you lost it. Guaranteed. A lot of people agreed with me at that point, because we've all done it. Okay, fasting is not a legalistic, duty-required process. So it's not a whole list of do's and don'ts. This is what you can do, you can't do, this is before that. It's a heart issue. There's no rules to this. So Jesus, He got questioned all the time. No, the bridegroom's here. We're celebrating. When I'm gone, they will fast. Because there's a practice that they will have to require for them to believe what God is going to say and do through them. And it's going to require deeper spiritual depth of even the disciples. And that's the same for us. Okay? So it's a choice that you make and a decision that you make that you want to step into it. Not a law, not a legalistic ritual that I need to follow so that I try and gain something out of this. Okay? Fast, everything about fasting is spiritual. It's not an outward thing. It's everything spiritual and in your body and in your life, in the man of a believer inside of you. So it's through self-control of the flesh that your spirit awakens within you. So when you start fasting, you actually enter into warfare. You're stepping in to a moment where the enemy doesn't like this and your flesh is not liking this. Okay? Your body and your flesh will scream out at you. Okay? The enemy will intimidate you and he will want you to fall and fail at this. So it's not about your results and I'm nailing it, I'm doing it. You might stumble and fall and get up. You just keep going. Okay? And for some of you, particularly you, Jeff, coming off your coffee, you're going to have headaches, bud. Okay? It's going to happen. But your body has to adjust. Okay? So if you stop coffee, your body goes through like headaches and you start feeling your flesh is, it will happen to you, I promise. And the enemy in those points intimidates you. Because what are you doing here? Whoa, this is uncomfortable. It's inflicting on yourself something where you want the flesh to be suppressed and your spirit to come alive inside of you. Okay? Remember, this is your spiritual duty. This is a spiritual thing you're doing in serving the Lord. Okay, so why? There's just three key things I want to just harp on here and touch on about when we fast, okay? Fasting is the breaking down of strongholds and getting breakthrough in your life or a community's life of what we're believing for. Okay, it's not just aimless. Oh, we're going to stop food. Okay, cool. And you just wander on. There's strategy here. We're doing this for a reason. There's a purpose we do this. And that's why I say you walk into warfare when you walk into this, because you are then taking on strongholds. So what is a stronghold? If you have a castle that is built and the castle has a fortress inside of it where no one can get to, it's called a stronghold. So it's a place of safety, essentially, but no one can get in there. There's only one door. And what the enemy does is through lying, through a whole lot of process, okay? It's through wrong teaching, Okay, through wrong beliefs, through generations. I've seen this, the cycles that happen in people's lives, just as it happened in others, stronghold and patterns in people's lives, self-imposed fortresses because you've disobeyed the word of God. They create these places inside of you that are fortresses to the enemy's lies over your life. And fasting will start unlocking and breaking through on those strongholds. Okay, strongholds of thinking. Okay, so Jericho was a strong fortress. They didn't do it by their own strength and might. They obeyed God and the walls crumbled, and that fortress of Jericho they could attack and break into. So it's a similar process. Many of our thinkings, we have strongholds when it comes to depression. We have strongholds when it comes to divorce. Strongholds of singlehood. There's barrenness in people, finances, addictions. These are strongholds that are working counter to the kingdom of God. And a stronghold starts in your thinking, where you just think, I'll never change. This thing's, it's just who I am. I'm just like this. You're believing the lie. And the way you break this power of the stronghold is that you start taking control of your flesh and say, right, we're going to war on this thing. So there's this personal, individual journey with fasting. That it's between you and the Lord. And you're trusting Him. Say, Lord, we're going to see these things break through. You know, there might be different cycles in your life. I know Janet is the, you know, prophet that we've had you a few times, Janet Brand-Hollis. She's got a real heart for single people. But she saw in her own family that many were single and divorced. And she said, it's weird, this stronghold that's holding our family. And she fasted and prayed over it. And God set her free from it. And she found her husband. And she says, if you're single and you want to get married, are you fasting about it? Are you fasting and getting to God and breaking things of thinking in your heart so that you can walk into fullness? Because your lies deceive you. And then you think, oh, well, this is the way it is. Strongholds. Strongholds that get broken down. Okay, and the enemy wants to keep you bound by these. Okay, and that's now what Joshua said in 24, the end of Joshua. And he's giving the people a choice, and he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods from your fathers, serve beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He puts a marker and a choice. I am going to live for God. And in that choice making, you set an order in the spirit. And those strongholds have to come down and be fallen and broken in your heart and your life. So remember, we are walking into war. It's a warfare. That's why it's difficult. Because the enemy hates for you to gain ground in the spirit and to be free from his lies and the strongholds of things. Secondly, we fast because it brings a protection to us as his people. Okay? So protection over our families, we fight for our children, we stand with our marriages, we fight for these things, and we're in a society today where we have to fight for these. Because society doesn't work with us. The schooling system is working against us and our kids, want to inflict all this nonsense upon them. So we have to fight in this, and then in that place of fasting, you are releasing a protection, and particularly over your children, this next generation. To fight for, and there's a great verse in Ezra 8:21 that says this, when they ask for protection from the Lord, listen, and then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him and a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king that the hand of our God is for good on all who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all who forsake Him. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. The Lord protected them in their path that they needed to walk and go. So if you're struggling with a child of yours, and there are testimonies I've read Janet's explained this a few times, a testimony of this one child who was written off. And the school was saying, we are going to have to expel your child. He is a write-off. And the mother was a single parent, and Janet, in chatting with her, said, why don't you take one day a week and you fast for your child? Take a Monday, take a Wednesday. The first day she started fasting, the school phoned her and said, enough's enough. We've had enough with this child, he's out. And she pleaded and she fought for him, said, no. And week after week after week, years down the line, the kid was failing. He now gets over 80, well, back then he got over 80% for maths. So what happened? There was a turnaround because the parent fought spiritually for a child. Not just physically, here I am providing your needs. She set aside in her own place and own desire to seek God, and she's fasted for a child just on a Monday or a Wednesday, whatever it was, and she saw breakthrough in a child's life. If you're struggling in your marriage and you want God to break through, fast together. Pray together. Struggling with your children, struggling with things, it's this discipline that brings about a protection and a breakthrough. And I can feel we don't believe it because we don't practice it enough. The third thing is for divine guidance. See, you have choices every day of your life to make. And the enemy will be in those choices to either tempt you and to make you stumble and fall. When you're walking close to God, the divine guidance will lead you by His Spirit. So the Philippians, Colossians speaks about all the fullness of God is now within us and was in Jesus that we have in us. So that fullness of who He is comes forth that you live from the place, as it says in Romans, that those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit. Everything you do being led by the Spirit, this heightens the leading in your business, in raising your family, in where the decisions you make, things you have to go, things that have to be done and seen. The Spirit guides you so that you don't walk down a path that the enemy's got lined up for you of destruction. He always wants you to make a choice that's going to bring you trouble. Now, you can't blame all the trouble on the devil, because sometimes the Lord uses our circumstances to teach you and to build character into you. Aiden got the wrong teacher. He's like, now I said, buddy, we've got a character year ahead of us. Project number one is teacher. You are going to win teacher over, but it's going to build your character. You won't like it now, but at the end of the day, you're a better person for everybody and for yourself. It's divine guidance. So through these 21 days, when we suppress the flesh and the decisions that you've got to make, there becomes a clarity and an ease about how you sense the Spirit leading you. That you just know that you know that you know God is saying this or that or whatever it might be. When you walk closely with the Lord, you don't have to fear decision making, because He will lead you by His Spirit. And you have that peace gauge inside of you. If you lose your peace, you know you're going the wrong way. I know that it's a feeling in me. It's like a gut. Doesn't feel right. Doesn't it feel right? And then the Lord leads you by His Spirit. Doesn't maybe look the right way, but He's leading you the right way. Okay? So what I really say to us is that we have to prepare ourselves for February. We can't just next Sunday and then we start on Monday the 5th of February and say, go. Start preparing yourself. Start getting your mindset into that position and place, and start deciding as a family how you're going to fast. How are we going to do this together? So we'll, as a family, we'll agree on what we will each have requirements to going to do, so we work together in it. Work as a couple. Work is its friends and your prayer watchers. Work together in understanding how you're going to do it. Don't be all gung-ho, no water, no food, I'm going, because on the Monday, by the Wednesday, you're out. Because if you want to do a 21 days, no water, no food, you have to start in early January already preparing your body for what that feels like. It's a reality. So prepare yourself. If you've got to start weaning off coffee, Jeff, start now, pal. He actually said to his daughter, his 12-year-old, that I think I might have to stop coffee during the fast. She burst out laughing at him. She doesn't believe you, hey? And I'm not saying you have to fast coffee, but it's those delicacies, the things that are so lacquer first thing in the morning. Aye, a good cup of coffee. And then you go stand in front of the kettle and you just stare at it, salivating of what this could be like. But then in that decision, you're like, flesh, you listen to me. You listen to me, flesh. You don't lead this body. The Spirit inside of me leads this body.
That's right. Amen.
And I keep progressing forward day by day. So this is, as I've said to you, this is all a matter of the heart. It's not a mental decision. I need to approach this with mental strength. It's our heart positioned and aligned to saying, God, speak to me now these 21 days. Show me, teach me. We're going to speak about serving. How can I serve in this community? We should not be short of children's workers and leaders in this church. And I just want to say to you, if, just as it comes to mind, if nobody arrives to help Joe with a certain class this year, that class is closing down for that Sunday. Joe's not running around trying to fix things where we can't serve. We all own this together. And if you're not prepared to help the next generation, nor are we. We're working together here. I'm not having Joe running around like she did last year. She doesn't know I'm saying this to you. She ran herself ragged for your children. But then we couldn't support her and help her. If people don't arrive to help, that class closes down. Okay? So we're not here to perform and succeed and to try and gain something from it. The whole point, so ask yourself with fasting this month, what am I fasting for? If you don't have a purpose, you don't have a focus on your fasting, okay, it's aimless. So why? Why are you wanting to fast? Oh, well, you're giving me a booklet and I've got to follow it. No, you decide why. Why do I want to fast? Do I want to fast because the pastor told me to? Your gain will be nothing. What are you fighting for in your family? What are you fighting for in your life? You've got to put these things forth now. Put them in front. And say, I'm fasting this month because I really want to see breakthrough in my life. I want to see God come through for me. And you don't do it for the result. You do it because of obedience. Because if you do it in obedience, if you do it for results, end of the 21 days, you're going to be like, okay, God, now, I've done this now. What are you going to do for me? You don't work like a slot machine. You don't work like that. He watches your obedience through the years, and then he'll pour out. And you keep walking in that journey, okay? So I want to see breakthrough in my life. You might want to see these strongholds or these patterns of thinking in your heart and your life that have been built in through all those ways that I discussed. You want to see those things come down? You put that forefront. Lord, I'm believing you that this stronghold in my thinking will come down. And strongholds don't just come overnight. It's a breaking down, brick by brick. So if you go through the 21 days, you might have to go further, not necessarily fasting, but being close to the Lord and believing these strongholds come down and walking with the Lord. Set your sights. Set your focus. You might want to start seeing your family flourish in relationships and the tensions or whatever they might be. You're putting that forefront. Lord, I'm fasting for my children this month. I want to believe for breakthrough, this challenge I'm having with my child, the struggles I'm having, or the in my relationship, in my marriage. I'm putting this up front, Lord. So you speak to me, God. You show me your strength and your word speaking to my heart and life. You might, in those environments, everything's fine. You might put this nation in front of you and say, God, I'm fasting for South Africa. This country, the dire position that we see ourselves in. I want to believe you, God, that you're going to do a turnaround. And you're positioning yourself with suppressing the flesh, but allowing your spirit to come forth as God speaks you. So when you have a vision, you see, you have this focus that you can believe on. Because, and I've said it so many times here, in this last hour, in this last season, in the last few years that we've been living in, the people of God are constantly being refined. We are being refined to come out of it gold, but it's been like fire. It's been challenging. The times and places, even talking to other pastors and other church communities, it's challenging. Don't look across the road and think, oh, well, a hunky-dory for them. We're in a challenging position. In spiritually, physically, emotionally, there's pressure in every way. But there's something God is doing with his people in this hour and refining and preparing us for what he wants to do and he will continue to do. And remember, it's not for just gain on this earth. I actually watched that movie yesterday, the guy that died 90 minutes in heaven. And he died in that motor car accident and he was in heaven for 90 minutes and then he came back to life. And his whole struggle is, I don't want to be here on earth. I actually want to be in heaven. It's far better. But our God said to him, no, there's a purpose. I've got things for you to share. That is our desire. One day we will be there. But don't squander this time on earth because it's too difficult. I don't know. Give up. This fasting will align your thinking. Will align your spirit inside of you to arise, seek first the kingdom of God, and to know your purpose, to know your understanding, to know why you're here. All these things come to the fore of a clarity that comes to you when we fast. And we ask God, because the season that we're living in, can attune to Jesus. And remember, in all of this, there is grace for us to be able to do this. You cannot fast in your own strength and gain it. Some people are better at this. In their own strength, they gain nothing. And I'll read this line to you. Grace, what is grace? Grace is not the cover-up for when you get it wrong. Okay? Grace is also not the cover-up of your sin. Now I'm under grace. Okay? Grace is the enabling power inside of you. Because you can't do this in your own strength. It's by grace that you now pursue this. Say, God, I choose your kingdom. I seek first you and your kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added as we seek and we pursue him. Grace is the enabling power to achieve what you can't do in your own strength, and the power that's inside of you to say no to the temptations that lay ahead of you. No. That lovely chocolate there, no. That great cup of coffee that'll just give me the boost for the day, no. Because I choose his kingdom. It sounds ridiculous, these small little things, but that's how you get tempted. Then temptations will come your way. But there's grace to enable you to be able to make the right decisions and to go forward and to do this. So as we walk into this 21 days, prepare yourselves. Next week I'll speak into a little bit of this more, a little bit more into fasting and that, because I really want to prepare ourselves. Because I think, you know, we say every year this is the most important one. It is important. It's always important. And how we position ourselves before God. So there's an individual role here. Okay, that as an individual, it's between you and God. But then it's also corporately. We are going together to say, God, speak to us. God, show us what you're saying. We are pursuing you. We are desiring you. The church must flourish in this day and this hour, although everything is against us and pressing in on us. And how we stand, but we believe in God. I can feel a sincerity in this room, okay? That you genuinely want to do this right. I can feel that. And that's a great start, okay? But it's not sincerity that's going to get you through. It's going to be discipline, okay? And discipline is a hard thing because it requires a rhythm. And what have we said? Yeah, it's the unforced rhythms of his grace. Okay, so now don't beat yourself up if you get it wrong. You reset because his mercies are new to you every morning, and you pick up and you get going again. I don't care if it's in day 7 or 8, you're doing well, and then you're like, no, stop this, I'm out. And you reset the next morning, you start again. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get to the point of, well, this is pointless because you're looking for results. We're not doing it for results, we're doing it because it's our obedience to what it is to serve God. Okay, and I was going to remind us of what we're walking into. See, I'm laying my own agenda and needs aside, because from the place of Christ in me, I willingly serve others to see them prosper. So your gifting, everything inside of you, we believe, comes to the fore when we serve others. And that's how the kingdom advances. And we stand on the truth of who he is. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to do that declaration of life as we finish here this morning. And it's 25 past. That is so good of me. That is so good. Hey, discipline. See how disciplined I am? Yeah. Elbel, if you could just get that, the declaration that says life. And we did this last week, but I want to do it again. Okay? And remember, we don't do these declarations and just shout it off, hopefully. This is spiritually aligning your heart and declaring stuff over your life, that you walk in God's order and you walk in his purpose for your heart and your life. Okay, so we're going to do this together, then I'll pray over us as we go. Let's stand together and we can do this as we finish off. Okay, Romans 12:2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You see, that's the strongholds coming down, renewing your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Come on, let's declare these things in faith. I decree that the perfect will of God is being established in my life. I prophesy that I will never miss God's plan, direction, and path. I break the power of any fear that would make me anxious about making a mistake. I say of every fork in the road before me, causing me to feel uncertain about the next steps, the choice on where to go is made clear. I say I know God's perfect will concerning my family, job, finances, health, home, and calling. I declare I am sure-footed and assured of my choices and decisions as I follow God's plan. I say that my mind is renewed and I possess the ability to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Today, I bless this house, I bless my family, I bless my health, and I bless my finances. I say that I live and function in His perfect will, and nothing shall be able to interfere. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me just pray over us as we go from here. Father, we thank You that Your word is so clear as an instruction to our hearts and our lives. Jesus, those words of, and then they will fast. Meaning, we will fast, and we will continue doing it 2,000 years down the line. We choose this discipline in our own hearts and lives to seek first Your kingdom. And as we begin a year, Lord, we know more than ever, with the times we're living in now, we need You. We need You to speak. We need You to move. You need to assure and show us the way, Almighty God. And I pray over us as a community that as we walk into this next month of fasting and prayer and just time where we hear Your voice speaking to us clearly, I pray there's a grace in all of us to be able to press in, that there wouldn't be the fear of making mistakes, as that declaration said. There would be this grace upon us to pursue You and You alone. And we silence the voice of the enemy. We silence those lies. And we pray we would truly see breakthrough in our own hearts and lives, but as a community, as we position ourselves, we would see breakthrough coming through for us as we believe You and we trust You for so good, because You are a good, good Father to us. And we worship You in adoration and glory and majesty to Your name. So Lord, we pray You part us with Your blessing. Let us go and ponder on these things this week as we prepare ourselves of what we're walking into next month, so that You reveal and show us Your power. Reveal to us here on this earth as we walk and we talk and we journey with You. And we honor You today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you, everybody.